ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 एंड 15। सो आई विल रीड ओनली द वर्स ट्रांसलेशन पर्पट फर्स्ट ऑफ टेक्स्ट 14 देन विल गो टू टेक्स्ट 15। इत उत्वाद्रीतरी कुंज गवरेश्वात्मवत्सका विचिन्वन् भगवान् कृष्ण सपाणी कवलो ययो। ट्रांसलेशन, लेट मी गो एंड सर्च फॉर द काव्स, कृष्णा सेड, डोंट डिस्टर्ब योर एंजॉयमेंट। देन कैरिंग हिज योगर्ट एंड राइस इन हिज हैंड, द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड एंड कृष्णा इमीडिएटली वेंट आउट टू सर्च फॉर द काव्स ऑफ हिज फ्रेंड्स। To please his friends, he began searching in all the mountains, mountain caves, bushes, and narrow passages. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, assert that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do personally. Natasya karyam karanam chavidyate, karanam chavidyate. Because he is doing everything through his energies and potencies. Parasa shaktir vividheva shuyate. Nonetheless, here we see that he took personal care to find the calves of his friends. This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. All the affairs of the entire world and the entire cosmic manifestation are working under his direction through his different energies. Still, when there is a need to take care of his friends, he does so, does this personally. Krishna assured his friends, "Don't be afraid. I am going personally to search for your calves." This was Krishna's causeless mercy. Go to text number 15 now. Ambo Janma Jani. Ambo Janma Jani Stad Antaro Gatam Mayar Bakese Shutur. अम्बो जन्म जनिस्तदंतरगतो मायार्भकस्येषितो। द्रष्टुं मञ्जुमहित्वं अन्यदपि तद्वत्सानितो वत्सपा। द्रष्टुं मञ्जुमहित्वमन्यदपि तद्वत्सानितो वत्सपा। नित्वान् यत्र कुरुद्वान्तरद्दधात् केवस्थितो य पुरा। नित्वान् यत्र कुरुद्वान्तरद्दधात् केवस्थितो य पुरा। दृष्ट्वा स्वगासुरमोक्षणं प्रभवतो प्राप्त परं विस्मयम्। दृष्ट्वा कुसागासुरमोक्षणं प्रभवत प्राप्त परं विस्मयम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, O Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasur, and he was astonished. That the same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary coward boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future he would see how powerful Krishna was. Purport. When Agasur was being killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. Thus, he became entangled in Krishna's Maya. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Ambhojanma Jani was born of Ambhoja, a lotus flower. It does not matter that he was born of a lotus and not of any man, animal or material father. A lotus is also material, and anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies. Brahma, that is tendency to commit mistakes. Pramada, the tendency to be illusion. Vipalipsa, the tendency to cheat. And Karna Patava, imperfect senses. Thus, Brahma also became entangled. Brahma with his Maya wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. These coward boys were but expansions of Krishna's personal self. Ananda Chinmay Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. Later, Krishna would show Brahma how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure. Ananda Chinmay Rasa. Ladini Shakti Asmat. Krishna has a transcendental potency called Ladini Shakti. He does not enjoy anything that is a product of material energy. Brahma therefore would see Lord expand his energy. Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and cows. Ravan wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible. And instead he took away a Maya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away Mayar Bakaha, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence to the Mayar Bakaha, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. That he would see in the very near future. Mayar Bakasya Ishitu. This bewilderment, this Maya was caused by the Supreme Controller, Prabhavataha, the all-potent Supreme Person Krishna, and we shall see the result. Anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment. This pastime is therefore called Brahma Vimohan Leela, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Moitam nabhi janati mam ebhya param avyayam. Bhagavad Gita 7.13. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Muyanti yat surayah. Tene brahma ridaya adi kavaye. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Everyone from Brahma down to the smallest in small insect must take lessons from Krishna. Hare Krishna. We read the earlier verse also because that was not covered. Krishna, we all know now that how the coward boys realized that the cows have disappeared and they become very anxious to look out for the cows. And Krishna is trying to relieve that anxiety. And Krishna is telling his coward boys that you be here, don't miss your lunch. I'll personally go into the forest and look out for the cows. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport very nicely mentions that though the Lord doesn't have to do anything himself, everything can be done by his potencies. But when it concerns his devotees, he is there personally. He serves them in a very personal way. And that's the nature of Krishna. Krishna's nature is that he likes to serve his devotees. And if it is anything else, probably he can just allow any of his potencies to take care of it, like the running the administration of this universe. But then when it comes to anything related to his devotees, he doesn't outsource it. He just does it himself. He just personally does that job. So Krishna here wants to see that the coward boys are very comfortable, and he personally is willing to go into the forest to search for the cows. Of course, there's a purpose behind it. Krishna knew that Brahma wanted to steal the boys also. So Krishna made that arrangement that he goes into the forest so that Brahmaji can even steal the cowherd boys. And this verse today mentions that. How Brahmaji, who actually was bewildered, because first he saw Aghasur being liberated. Agha means sin. This particular demon was bound to go into the hellish planets. But by just being in contact with the Lord, Krishna killed Aghasur. And he found that, you know, Aghasur is liberated. So that astonished Brahma. Brahmaji was in his own planet. But when he saw all the demigods, you know, beating the kettle drums, and so he also came out to see, and he saw that what is happening over there, that Aghasur has been liberated by the Lord, freed from all the sins. That's one thing. And the next moment he sees that Krishna is having lunch with all his friends, and they are all joking with him. They're making fun of him. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada once mentioned that, you know, when the boys would just tell Krishna, open the mouth, I'm giving you laddu. And Krishna opens the mouth and he puts a very bitter flower in the mouth, and Krishna feels very displeased and throws it out. So that's how they would play. And then Brahmaji was astonished. He was wondering, why is it happening like this? Is he the same Lord whom I am worshipping? Same Lord Krishna or someone else? Brahmaji became bewildered. And by becoming bewildered, he decided to test Krishna. So this particular verse here specifically mentions about the bewilderment of Brahma. And later on we'll see how Brahma gets bewildered by this. So Srila Prabhupada, right in the beginning, he is mentioning a very important point, that the position of Brahma. Who was actually Brahma? Brahma was actually born from the lotus flower. He did not have his mother or father, or he did not come out through this particular way. Brahmaji actually came out from the navel of the Lord. When the lotus flower came, and from the lotus flower he just came out. Ambo Janma Jani. So he was the son of Ambo Jana, that is lotus flower. And here Srila Prabhupada makes a very important point. Like Prabhupada mentions here, that one can take lessons from Krishna from this. So there's one lesson that we can learn from here, that even though one may be in the position of Lord Brahma, he cannot escape the bewildering potency of Krishna. Not because that Brahma is at such a high position and a very special position, not that he was free from that bewildering potency of the Lord. Each and every living entity in this material world is under the bewildering potency of the Lord. Prabhupada mentioned, Janasya moham aham mameti. Me and mine. And Prabhupada gives a nice story of Indra also. How Indra was cursed to become a hog and come to this material world. What is the position of Indra and what is the position of hog? There in the heavenly planets, he has apsaras, gandharvas, all at his, you know, command. And here he becomes hog eating stool. And then he has wives, hog wives, small, small babies. And he's nicely taking care of them as a hog, Indra. And when the time comes for him to go back, Narad Muni comes and says, Indra, now it's time to go back to heavenly planets. They're all waiting for you. So Indra says, no. What about this family which I am here? I have to take care of all these families, members. So this is the bewildering potency, that we as living entities, at one particular time we were in the spiritual world, we are here, and under the influence of the modes of material nature, we try to do some activities and we become completely bewildered, considering ourselves through this body and everything related to this body as mine. And then because of this, you know, we become conditioned. And we become so conditioned that, you know, apparently uncomfortable situation, we make ourselves very comfortable. You know? Like someone who is traveling by train for the first time, you will find it's hell. But somebody is traveling every day, for him it's a comfortable situation. He finds himself very comfortable. He doesn't find it to be uncomfortable. For someone, for the first time, if he's traveling, then he'll think that it's hell. Like for myself, for the first time when I was supposed to go to Mira Road to go as a consultant, I was thinking such a far distance now, 1.5 hours you have to travel. Now I feel it's so comfortable going 1 hour, traveling 1 hour, it's not so far. Somebody says, oh, so far you're going. No, no, it's not so far. You can go and come in 1 hour's time. You can go for one in 1 hour's time, like that. So the nature is that we ourselves, you know, we find ourselves or make ourselves very comfortable in this situation, in the material world. You ask the people in the slums, we may think that, oh, I'm staying in a nice apartment. Oh, they are poor. How they are staying. But you ask them, they are very happy there. It's like that. So that's the nature actually. And we forget that what is the real goal of life. As His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu in his lecture was mentioning that the real goal of life is to serve and please Krishna. And we forget that, and what we do is that we try to please our senses and we just get entangled in the cycle of birth and death. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, once he was mentioning the lecture, the title was A Prison House Without Walls. Durga Devi has made such a nice prison house. This material world is like a prison house. But such a wonderful prison house that, you know, the biggest jails, the prisons, are being scaled and the prisoners have escaped. But this is such a prison house where there are no walls. And still nobody wants to escape. And nobody wants to go out. Somebody's coming, please come, let's go out of this material. He says, no, I want to be here. So it's a prison house without walls. Can you imagine what it is like? That means how much we are bewildered that we are trying to make ourselves very comfortable in this uncomfortable situation. Where is Dukhalai Ashashvatam, where this place of misery and temporary. But we make ourselves very, very comfortable. So this is the first lesson that we learn actually from this particular place. Brahmaji, as Prabhupada mentions, that his Ambo Janma Jani, but then he also became bewildered over here. The second point Srila Prabhupada here is trying to bring out is that Brahmaji was trying to show his power. And to whom? To Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that you can show your power to others. Like here, Prabhupada mentions, Brahmaji could show some extraordinary opulence to the Mayar Bhaka, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. So it is said that, you know, sometimes when somebody has power and wealth, they feel that they can exhibit or they can exploit others. They can use that power to influence or to exploit others. In the Shastras, we find Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, you know, they were there to exploit Ravan. Ravan thought that everything, whatever is there, is for his pleasure. So that's the nature that, you know, naturally if somebody has that power, wealth, prestige, they feel that they can control others. They can do anything they want to. They're like power hungry. In the beginning, probably they may not, but then once they get a power, they want to compete with someone who has that power, and then ultimately they just go. Like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they went to the extent that they wanted to defy the supremacy of the Lord. So much so that they directly wanted to fight with the Lord. Hiranyaksha wanted to fight with Varahadev. He wanted to fight with someone who is the most powerful. And then he dared to fight with Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu, you know, had a fight with Narsingdev, Ravan. All these people, ultimately, but what happened? They all met with death. As it said, at a time of death, all power is taken away. And just as, like in a drama, you know, you may be acting like a powerful Ravana, but once the drama is over, you know, your costumes are taken away, your beard is taken away, your helmet is taken away, everything is taken away. And you would wear your shirt and trousers and go back. What you come with. Whatever the power you have to exhibit, exhibit power at that stage. But once that drama is over, the director, the people who are, you know, taking care of the clothes, and they say, come on, give up all your clothes and everything. Give it back to us. It's like that. So at the time of death, whatever power you have tried to exhibit, you know, you have tried to exercise, everything is taken away at the time of death. Nothing is remaining. Then you're back to square one. So somebody who is exhibiting that power, what is that power of any value? Power is just going to go away. At the time of death, everything is taken out. It's just a matter of few moments, few years. Somebody may live for maybe, somebody's fortune may live for 100 years. But now 100 years, I don't think anybody will survive. Maybe 60, 70, that's a bonus for us, whatever. But then how many years that we have actually to survive? And then we exhibit our power and just taken away. So Brahmaji actually tried to exhibit his power he got bewildered. The third point which Srila Prabhupada actually tries to highlight here is that Brahmaji wanted to exhibit power, but power on whom? On Krishna. He actually wanted to test Krishna. Out of pride of his intelligence, you know, like he was a very intelligent person. Four heads means you can imagine, four heads, how much intelligent he can be. And he is a first born creature. Nobody can compare the position of Brahma. He is a first born. He is the most intelligent person in this particular universe because he orchestrates the entire creation of this material universe. He is the person who actually saw Lord face to face. Face to face. He directly received instructions from the Lord. And he is one person, he is such a powerful person that if the demigods try to attack anything, they don't dare to attack Brahmaloka. And he is also the spiritual master for all these demigods. That sort of a person. If anybody has any problem, they directly go to Brahma and that Brahma just takes them all to Lord Vishnu. So see the position of Lord Brahma. But out of his pride, Brahmaji actually thought, I can test Krishna. I can test Krishna. You know, he dared to do that. And because of which he bewildered. He wanted to show his power and test Krishna. And that's the greatest danger. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, that he wanted to test Krishna. If somebody wants to test, you can test somebody else, anybody in this. But then directly testing Krishna, what is your, you know, capacity to test Krishna? Who are you? And Prabhupada here mentions that, you know, everyone is having these four defects. And with all these defects, one has the audacity to test the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And Brahmaji did that. And because he tried to do that, he became bewildered. Like Radha Govind Maharaj gives a very nice example how in the Shastra also mentions that how Sati also was bewildered. Since once during Ram Leela, when Sita was kidnapped, Ram was looking into the forest, looking for Sita, crying like an ordinary human being and asking the trees and the plants, where is Sita, where is my Sita, where is my Sita? And at that time, Shiva and Sati were just coming from Malaya Parvat on the way to Kailash. They just had attended a Bhagavat Sapta from Agastya Muni. And as they're passing by this, Shivji just saw that Ram is here crying in the forest and looking for Sita. Sita, where is Sita? Where is Sita? Where is Sita? So normally if an ordinary human being would be, he would not be looking for Sita and asking the trees or plants, you know, in this material world. If somebody has lost his wife, he would just, you know, give information in the newspaper or in television. But here he's asking the trees, the plants. So Sati was thinking he's so mad. But Shiva understood that he is Lord Ram playing his role. And he just bowed down to Lord Ram, offered his obeisances. So Sati was thinking, why my Lord is offering obeisances to a madman? He is a human being. He is not a Lord. I don't think he is a Lord. If he is Lord, then he should know where Sita is. Why is he looking for Sita here and there, asking the plants and the trees? Sita is mad, but Shiva is trying to tell him that this is the Supreme Lord. He has come down in the form of a human being just to respect Ravana's words. Because Ravana had mentioned that I should be killed only by human beings. So Lord Ram came here to kill Krishna, to kill Ravan in the form of a human being. So then Satya said, no, I don't believe. So Shiva said, well, up to you. You decide what you want to do. He said, I doubt him. I doubt that he is the Supreme Lord. He says, then you can do what you want. He says, I want to test him. So Sati takes a form of Sita and comes in front of Lord Ram. And said, if he is a human being, definitely, as soon as he sees me, he will become very happy. But Sati tells us that I am going there, but what about you, my dear husband? He said, you know, if I go there, then some time will pass. Shiva said, don't worry, I'll sit under a tree waiting for you. As soon as you finish your job, you come back to me. So Sati goes there in the form of Sita, and when she comes in front of Ram, Ram offers obeisance to Sati. He says, my dear Sati, why are you wandering all alone in this forest? And where is your husband Shiva? And you should not travel like this alone in the forest. Dangerous. So many wild animals are here. You should always be with your husband. Go back. And Sati was shocked. Sati understood that I am now face to face with the Lord, and I'm, you know, like directly challenging the personalities right in front of him. And Sati closed her eyes. And as soon as Sati opened eyes, she actually saw Ram with Lakshman and Sita in the forest, nicely enjoying. And Sati was bewildered. And she again closed the eyes, and when she opened, again she saw Ram and Lakshman going deep into the forest looking for Sita. And Sati understood. He said, my husband was right. So she came back. So Shiva said, so what happened? Sati said, Sati did not tell a single truth. Sati said, yes, my dear husband, whatever you said, you know, I did the same thing. I also offered obeisances over there in front of the Lord. I understood my mistake. I also offered. He said, no, you please tell. What? No, I did that. Come, let's go to Kailash back fast. Because Sati did not want that topic to be, you know, brought up again. But then Shiva, by his meditation, understood what has happened. So even the great people can get bewildered by the Lord's bewildering potency. What to speak of us? But here, Brahmaji had audacity to test, you know, Krishna. And that was his greatest mistake. He actually wanted to test Krishna directly. And because he wanted to test Krishna, Krishna had to do that. Krishna had to play this role. Of course, Brahmaji wanted to see a leela. It is said that Brahmaji wanted to see that, okay, let me just steal away the cows and the calves, and let me see what Krishna does. You know, he wants to see the fun. He actually wanted to see the fun. Whether Krishna is going to now look out for the calves and cows, or is he going to look out for, or is he going to approach me and find out where they are? You know, or is he going to cry? So Brahmaji actually wanted to see the fun. But what Brahmaji did was that Brahmaji directly, tested Krishna. That was his greatest mistake. And the fourth mistake which he did was, Brahmaji actually touched his associates. He wanted to take away his associates away from Krishna. That was the biggest mistake Brahmaji did. The difference between Indra and Brahma was that when Indra sent the Samvartaka clouds, he got all the Vrijvasis together. But what Brahmaji did is that Brahmaji wanted to separate the cowherd boys and the cows away from Krishna. That was the greatest mistake which Brahmaji did. And Srila Prabhupada here mentions that Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associate, but instead took away some other boys and cowherd boys, cows. Mahayarabhak. No one can touch Krishna's associates. No one can touch. Prabhupada gives an example of Sita also. When Ravan kidnapped Sita, actually it was not the original Sita. It was a duplicate Sita, which Maya Sita, which Ravan had taken away. So similarly, when Brahmaji took away the cowherd boys and the cows, he did not take away the original cowherd boys and cows. He took away the Maya cowherd boys and the cows. But the point here is to be mentioned here is that if anybody tries to, you know, do anything with the Lord's associates or the Lord's paraphernalia, the Lord doesn't excuse that person. The Lord doesn't like that. The Lord may punish, or the Lord may do some activity which will just some other make the person embarrass. You know, this is what the Lord will actually do. It is said that in this material world, you know, everyone comes empty-handed and goes empty-handed. Nobody comes with, you know, things. And here, Brahmaji, if you see, he was empowered by the Lord to do all these things. He was at the beginning of the, when he was born, he never had any power. He heard the word tapa, and then afterwards he just, you know, had the darshan. And by his empowerment, Brahmaji actually created the whole universe. But now he wanted to test Krishna, and that too directly his friends. So it is said that out of pride, out of power, out of wealth, one may think that one can directly attack Krishna's name or Krishna's devotees. And that's the most dangerous thing. Like, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find how Gopal Chakravarti, he tried to attack Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was preaching the glories of the holy name. You know, Gopal Chakravarti thought that he knew better than Haridas Thakur. And he tried to attack the devotee as well as the holy name, what he was preaching. And he got a reaction. Similarly, so many other personalities, you know, when you do anything with the Lord's associates or with the Lord's paraphernalia, you are going to get a reaction. You are going to get something from Krishna as a punishment. you know, Baldev Prabhu sent a wonderful quote. This is from Granth Raj, this disciples of Mahavishnu Maharaj. You know, they regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam, and then one nice point, you know, many nice wonderful points were there in that. One point which struck me very nicely, which is very appropriate here, it mentions that the money that does not belong to you, you can never spend. Now, it's just a simple statement, but such a profound, has such a profound meaning inside. The money that you cannot, the money that does not belong to you, you cannot spend. Now, money means what? It's actually Lakshmiji. Lakshmiji is a personal associate of the Lord. How can you claim that to be yours? Lakshmi cannot be claimed as yours at all, in any way. That's why Lakshmi is called chanchal. You cannot have that with you. You cannot have that wealth and say that it belongs to you. Out of illusion, somebody may think that, you know, that money belongs to you. But it is also another type of bewilderment. Why? Because somebody may say, oh, I have such a property, I have so much of money, I have so much of this. But if you are not allowed to use that, you cannot use it. It doesn't belong to you, then you cannot use it at all. You know, just like there's a building where I stay, that property, nobody claims that property, nobody stays there. So I asked, why is it not? He says, because the family is fighting over that property. And because the family is fighting over the property, there's a dispute. And nobody is able to use that. So the thing is that, you know, you are trying to claim that property, and that property you cannot use. You cannot use that property. Somebody may say, I have so much wealth here and so much wealth there and so much wealth there. But then, are you going to use that property? Are you going to use that wealth? Am I able to use that wealth? You're not able to use that wealth at all. Because Krishna arranges in such a way that whatever you are able to use, whatever you are supposed to use, only you can use that. And things which does not belong to you will remain as it is. This is another type of bewilderment. Whatever is in a quota, only that you can use. What is not there in a quota, you cannot use. It will be just on paper that this particular property belongs to you. that particular property belongs to you, or this particular wealth belongs to you, that particular wealth belongs to you. That's all, nothing else. It's just on paper. Like people may fight over for lifetimes, you know, their grandchildren fight, great-grandchildren fight over the property, but nobody uses the property. Huh? They just live in their same maybe small house and think that they have so much of property worth crores. They fight over it in the battle, in the court, for years and years. And the people who enjoy are the lawyers. You don't get anything out of it. It remains as it is. So very nice statement, that money that doesn't belong to you, you cannot use it. Like his Ulyas Radhananda Maharaj, in one of his class, he was mentioning that even if somebody is a rich person, how much is he going to eat? 4 chapatis, maybe some few roti, sabji, rice dal, that's all. If he's fortunate enough. If he has diabetes or if he has hypertension, he cannot use salt. He cannot have sugar. That also he cannot use. Huh? Like Radha Gopina Prabhu gives a very nice example, you know, in his Bhagavad Gita course, that two people enter the train, and you know, in the second class, you have a fourth seat. Where somebody says, you know, just move aside and you sit on the fourth seat, you know, you just sit. And two people wanted to sit on the same. And there they started arguing that this is my seat, this is my seat, this is my seat, this is my seat. All the while from Churchgate till Borivali, they were arguing. That seat nobody occupied. And when they came out also, they were fighting outside also. But nobody occupied that seat. But they were fighting and fighting, but that seat remained empty. And they were fighting for what? For their seat, but nobody sat on the seat. And they got down from the train and they were fighting outside down the platform also. So ultimately, who is enjoying that? Nobody. Because that seat did not, they were not destined to sit on that. Nobody sat on that seat. Instead, they were fighting on something else and they went outside and they fought. That's what is happening. So this is also a type of a bewilderment. You know, we think that we have like this, I have so much. Now also we see so many things. I hear, you know, so many families having fights over the properties, spending so much of time and energy distributing the properties. And the properties are worth crores. But if you think, how much really need to survive? But still, that thing is there. You know, I'm having so many. But ultimately, one day you are going to leave the body. And you are going to leave this. So before you existed, this before you were born, this land was there. And after you're leaving, this land is still going to be there. But in that process, we think that it belongs to us. Just like those two people fighting, when they got in at Churchgate, they thought this seat belongs to him. The other person thought this seat belongs to that person. And both are fighting, but nothing happened. And the seat remained empty and they went ahead. Very graphic example, actually, you know, like. So, basically, like, we fight tooth and nail for what does not belong. So, then one starts wondering that is life still worth living like that? You know, is it worth living like that? Burujan Prabhu, when he came here, he made a very nice statement. He said, let Krishna do his own business and we do our business. Don't poke your nose into Krishna's, somebody else's business. Krishna is nicely enjoying with his cowherd boys, cows. Brahma should do his own job. Brahma is trying to test Krishna here. What business he has to do that? What you can do is that you can just enjoy, but trying to test Krishna, that's something which is out of the way. You know, try to test Krishna. So he said, let Krishna do his business and you mind your own business. He said that instead of that, one should invest one's energy in serving and pleasing those who are serving Krishna. You know, that's the way one can use his or own energy, not in anything else, which is of no use. Said, at the time of death, it's a very wonderful statement actually. At the time of death, what counts is how many people's lives that we have influenced. You know, and not how much wealth or how much power, how much of, you know, prestige that you have accumulated in this life. At the time of death, what is really going to count is that how many people's lives that we influenced. Influenced them to take shelter of Krishna, to love Krishna, to please Krishna. Once His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj, gave a very nice lecture, a very old one. And then he was mentioning, when Krishna takes you back to his spiritual world, he is going to stay with you. In other words, we are going to stay with him. So, if he is allowing us to stay with him, he would not like to have someone who is very proud of his achievements, or if he is very proud of his, you know, chanting or his tapasya. He said he will like to have someone with him who has developed the culture and the good character, the natural qualities. That's what you would like. He, Krishna, would like to stay with those people. Just like now we have the Mayapur Yatra. Now you have accommodation, you have rooms allotted. Now, you would not like to stay with someone, you know, who is proud of his achievements or who is doing a lot of tapasya, or who has done Nirjal Ekadis all throughout his life, or he eats only milk every day. You would not like to stay. Well, they are all nice, wonderful qualities, but what would you actually like to look in for the people whom I'm going to share the room with? You'd like to share the room with someone who is accommodating, very loving, very gentle, very understanding, isn't it? You don't like to have someone who is very arrogant, gets in the middle of the night and shouts. So Krishna is like that. Krishna is actually trying to get someone back to him, to the spiritual world, someone who has developed this culture, developed those qualities. So, when we develop those qualities, then we are eligible to go back to the spiritual world actually. So Krishna actually wants us to develop the right attitude and go back to the spiritual world. So what we learn from here is that, you know, we should not be like what Brahma is. Of course, with all glories, he is our acharya of this parampara. But Krishna is trying to teach us lessons from each and every episode and each and every actions, that, you know, we cannot be like Brahma. You know, that trying to exhibit the power, trying to exhibit his influence, and trying to test Krishna, and trying to, you know, touch Krishna's associates, a paraffin who was very dear to him. If we just exhibit those qualities of just, instead of that, you know, just like most of our time and energy goes, like there's a nice saying, that if you stop bothering about what others are doing and only think about what you are doing, then you will be much more calm and peaceful. Most of the anxieties will be over. The most of our time and energy goes about what others are doing and try to get, you know, some or other becoming little uneasy and become anxious or becoming upset or sad because what others are having and what you don't have. So stop bothering about what others are having and most of the anxieties will be out. You know, like that. So instead of bothering about, you know, whether test the Lord, let me test the Lord, you know. Sometimes we may think, oh, I want to test the Lord, whether it does this or not. Instead of that, try to save your energy and conserve energy and try to invest that energy in, you know, nicely and humbly serve the associates of the Lord, serve in that mood, humble mood, then that's how your life will be perfect. If you are using our energy unnecessarily in all these things which are of no use. Suppose if Brahma tested Krishna and he found that Krishna, what would have done? Ultimately, he had to serve Krishna only, na? But he was passing his time. It's a time pass. Let me just test Krishna. You know? So we don't have time for that. We have to become serious about our own spiritual life, as time is very short. And we should invest all this energy in just serving and pleasing the Lord and his associates. In that way, we can become eligible to go back to the Lord, who is there eager to wait for us. He wants us to be there, but not with those qualities. Not with qualities which Brahmaji is exhibiting at this particular moment. Of course, afterwards, we come to know how Brahmaji becomes so embarrassed and his holiness Radhanath Maharaj, 20 years back on the disappearance of Haridas Thakur, he was mentioning, because that time also the Brahmavimana Lila was going on. We were on that second, 10th canto, almost about 20 years back in 92, 93. And the same episode we were on. And very nicely, Zulinsa Radhanand Maharaj brought it to this. Brahmaji was so much feeling so ashamed that he did not want that power. Then he became what? He came as Haridas Thakur. And he became Namacharya. And he was only engrossed in just chanting the holy names. Exhibited a quality of humility. So that was Namaji Haridas Thakur. So Brahmaji became Haridas Thakur. And then he exhibited that quality. That forget all these things, just chant, just be humble, serve. And that's how you just go back to the spiritual world. So this is what I wanted to share with you. Thank you very much. I just spent over time. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.